from D. James Kennedy Ministries. This is Kennedy Classics. Welcome to Kennedy Classics. Nobody spoke to the culture and the soul the way Dr. Kennedy did, and available now as we continue his legacy is the new improved Impact Magazine and Devotional from D. James Kennedy Ministries. This glossy full-color magazine features thought-provoking articles, great biblical resources, and daily devotional truth from Dr. D. James Kennedy, delivered right to your mailbox each month. Feed your soul and impact the culture with the gospel, the lordship of Christ, and a biblically informed view of the world. For your free trial subscription to the new Impact Magazine and Devotional, simply call, write, or visit us online.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Jerry Newcomb.
And I'm Jennifer Cassidy. D. James Kennedy Ministries is a viewer-supported ministry, and our fiscal year ends at midnight on June 30th. We need your help to continue this program and the other vital work that we do. So please, consider giving a generous donation by contacting us right away at the number on your screen or by going online to djameskennedy.org.
I don't have to tell you that our nation is locked in a great spiritual battle, from so-called gay marriage at the Supreme Court to creeping socialism to recent reports that younger people are walking away from Christianity. The very future of America is at stake. On today's program, we'll uncover the attack on our nation's foundations and we'll share a new resource with you that will help reinforce those foundations.
And we begin today with a vital message my dad, Dr. D. James Kennedy, shared with some of our valued ministry partners on the most serious threats to our nation, called the greatest struggle.
May we pray. Father, speak to us now, we pray thee. And we pray that you'll pour out your blessing upon this, our native land, upon America, that it might be beautiful, that it might be a nation under God again, that you will cleanse it and purge it and renew it by your Spirit. We ask it in Christ's holy name. Amen. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Abraham Lincoln, the 16th President of these United States, said, as we all know very well, that 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation. And here you will notice that he compared metaphorically this nation to the begetting of a child, a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal, and that we have been endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, today, we are also engaged in a great civil war. It's not a war with bullets and bayonets, but it is a moral and spiritual war that we're engaged in. The question now is not whether or not a nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. It's not a nation where we're having to decide whether all men are created equal. It is a war where we're trying to decide whether all men have been created at all. And there are many forces within this country today that would be very happy if we could remove those words from our declaration. There are some schools that won't let the declaration be displayed or read in classroom because it does attribute our rights to a power greater than the state and does declare that we have been created. So that in history class, our students are taught that they have been created by a God who has given them rights. And in science class, they are told that they have evolved out of a primordial slime from some amoeba that has given us no rights at all. And keep in mind that every time you hear about students being taught that we have evolved, you are hearing the sawing away of the foundations of this nation and the source of our inalienable rights. If we have been merely evolved from the slime, we have no inalienable rights. And the only rights we have at all, which are certainly not inalienable, are those which the government should decide to give to us, and which the government may decide at its own whim to take away as well. So we are engaged in a great spiritual war. It is a war literally for the soul of America. And it's indeed a very worthwhile fight to be in. Goethe said that the greatest struggle and the only struggle worthy of our participation in this entire world is the struggle between faith and unbelief. And that is the struggle that we are in today. Well, what can we do? We can, of course, exercise our vote. And it's sad that there are many Christians that don't even bother to vote. They ought to. And you know, I think 100 years ago, a Christian, a dedicated Christian, could vote easily, just as easily for one party as another, I should think. But that is getting difficult to do. Why? Because the government in recent decades has more and more obtruded itself into the realm of the church, into moral and spiritual matters. They didn't do that 50 years ago, as they do today. But today, the government is telling us where we can have Bibles, where they can be read, where people can pray, where they can't do this and that and the other thing, and all kinds of various things that they are putting their imprimatur upon as being good and right. And most people believe if anything is lawful, legitimate, that it must be also moral. And this is something that hurts our country very badly. And we can't allow that kind of thing to happen. The government is more and more getting into all kinds of religious matters like this, which used to be entirely the prerogative of the church, just for example, the matter of abortion. And now the government has simply come in, placed their imprimatur upon it, and said it's perfectly legal, and therefore most people say it must be perfectly all right. Now, who is obtruding upon whose turf? It is the government obtruding itself into the realm of the spiritual and the moral. We need to choose people and parties that take their stands on biblical morality upon which this country was built. More than that, we ought to be engaged, and your churches ought to be engaged in winning people to Jesus Christ. May I say, the last thing Christ said was to go and make disciples of all nations. And because of the fact that the church as a whole en masse has largely ignored and disobeyed that commandment, that we're in the mess that we're in. We have allowed unbelievers to multiply in our midst enormously, and consequently, we see all of these ungodly things that are going on, which grieve us. Well, if we had been there to win those people to Christ, they would be on our side, and they would not be the people that we're struggling against. So, dear friends, we need to be faithful in witnessing to Jesus Christ. We should be faithful daily in witnessing every opportunity of the gospel of Christ. If you don't know how, tell your pastor to get evangelism explosion going in your church. And we'll teach you how to do that. And I was thrilled. We had 19 people from our church went over to Malawi about 2 weeks ago. In fact, a couple of them are sitting right here. We went over there. And in a period of, I think, less than 10 days, they had led, on average, in eye-to-eye contact with people, over 100 people per person. Some 2,000 adults, 1,800 adults and 200 and some children were led to Christ over there by people faithfully witnessing to people. Now, I would that they responded as well in America, but still, it's possible to lead them to Christ. And I am very, very encouraged. And I'll tell you this in case you don't know it. In spite of everything that we see, we're actually winning the battle. Now, you say, well, when I read the paper, it doesn't look that way. When I read the paper, it doesn't look that way to me either. But thank God that I don't get all my information from the newspaper. We're going to see a major sea change in this country, and morality and decency and spirituality are going to come back into vogue in America. Father, we pray that you'll bring it to pass, Lord. We are not prophets. We can only look and see what is happening and what thou art doing, but we are encouraged by that. Help us to be a part of the solution and not merely bystanders that are sitting in the bleachers, but let us get out into the field and be engaged in the greatest struggle in all of the world between faith and unbelief. In Jesus' name, amen.
As my dad shared today, this was a nation founded on Christian principles. And yet, we now see the Christian faith being silenced and marginalized. As judges, secular elites, and radical activists attempt to refashion our nation in their own image, biblical truth is set aside to our nation's own harm. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb and John Rabe have more.
As we reach the halfway point of 2015, we are in many ways a society in turmoil.
The media works to convince us that the battles over marriage and religious freedom are already over and that Christians need to get in line.
But that's not the whole story. Overlooked are millions of Americans who still believe in the Bible and the God of the Bible who gave us our freedoms. And it's never been more important to broadcast those truths. Joining us now to talk about this is our own John Rabe. John, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Jerry.
So, here we are at a point where the Supreme Court has actually taken it upon itself to deal with the issue, can they redefine marriage, even after millennia of marriage being one man, one woman.
And it doesn't matter which side of the argument you're on. The idea that it's up to a court to define this institution is ridiculous. And unfortunately, that's the era that we live in, Jerry. We live in an era where we think that all of these societal things are merely human constructions. And so marriage is merely a human construction to be twisted and turned whichever way we want to turn it. Sexuality, we've had the big Bruce Jenner issue over the past few months, that sexuality and gender are human constructions simply to be twisted and turned whichever way we want. The reality is we're dealing with fundamental reality. We're dealing with God's creation here, and just as a court can't sit in judgment of the law of gravity, a judge can't sit in judgment of God's creation of marriage either.
It's like the idea that, well, we thought we were wiser than God, and of course we're not. Now, there's an important link between the loss of religious freedom, which is in the Constitution, and the rise of same-sex marriage, which of course is not in the Constitution.
That's exactly right. And we see that these two things have been on a collision course, the idea of so-called gay marriage and the idea of religious freedom. And the way that it's being resolved over and over again in our country is that if you have objections to gay marriage, you will be stomped upon. You can lose your business. You can lose your livelihood. You may at some point be able to lose your freedom unless you get in line and get on board with this agenda.
Well, we spoke recently with columnist and author and radio host Dr. Michael Brown on this issue.
We really need to understand that there is an all-out war against freedom of religion, speech, and conscience in America. One English professor who was raised by lesbian moms and very much understands the gay background society lifestyle has put together an article listing 300 examples of oppressive acts by gay activists against people of faith or moral conscience. It's happened now with Baronelle Stutzman. She's 70 years old. She's a grandmother. She's owned Arlene's Florist for over 40 years. She's employed gays and lesbians. She's served gays and lesbians. But when she told a longtime customer, "I'm sorry, I can't provide the floral arrangement for you and your same-sex partner." I mean, she puts her heart into it. It's a creative act when she does these things. And when she says, "I'm sorry, I can't do this," he takes her to court. The attorney general takes her to court. They haven't just gone after her business, but her assets. And the judge ruled without it even going to trial. He basically said this: you are entitled to your freedoms of belief, but not to act on those. It is a complete outrage.
John, I think one of the things that muddies the waters on this issue is the fact that some professing Christians now are saying it's fine to embrace the homosexual agenda.
That's right. And unfortunately, I think the younger the Christian, the more likely that is to be the case. Even a major evangelical publisher just recently released a book called God and the Gay Christian by a young author named Matthew Vines, attempting to argue that the Bible supports same-sex unions and monogamous homosexual relationships. And so what we see is that, especially among young Christians, there is a capitulation, whether it's because of cultural pressure, whether it's because of a desire, even a legitimate desire for outreach, but not to be seen as bigoted, not to be seen as hateful, not to be seen as prejudiced, and some of the things that the culture portrays Christians as being. Because of a fear of that, it seems that many Christians are now abandoning the biblical position on homosexuality.
But indeed, we should not be hateful. I'm not hateful. I know you are not. So what do you say to that?
Absolutely. We are not to be hateful. This is not an issue of hatred. This is not an issue of bigotry. This is an issue of love. If the Bible is clear, and it is, that those who are unrepentantly engaged in homosexual activity, along with people who are engaged in lots of other unrepentant sinful activities, if it's true that they are excluded from the kingdom of God, then we are being profoundly unloving by withholding that information from someone who's practicing homosexuality. We owe it to them in love to call them to repentance in order to be reconciled to God for eternity. That's the most loving thing that you can do. And unfortunately, the media has portrayed that as hateful because the idea that, well, I know the truth is considered hateful. And so we get caught in this sort of squishy postmodernism that says, well, my truth is my truth and your truth is your truth, and we have to be careful not to impose it on each other. That's not the way biblical truth works.
And the good news is, John, despite the media blackout on this point, there are lots and lots of ex-homosexuals and lesbians who have found freedom through the gospel of Jesus. Now, the other issue is how many people think Christianly. Well, we asked author Jason Jimenez about that issue.
The sad reality is no, Christians do not have a biblical worldview today. All the studies are showing that over 80% of Christians are biblically illiterate. And out of that percentage of people, we find that 92% of these Christians today that, again, attend a church on a monthly basis have never been discipled, nor do they read the Bible every day. So we try to not just shepherd those people in the churches around the country, but we try to further equip the pastors and the parents and the young people to effectively understand the Bible so they could be biblically literate and then hopefully try to combat against this growing, you know, thread of not just a denial of Christianity in the Christian sense, but also try to equip more Christians to be effective so that they can combat against the de-churched and unchurched people.
So, John, one thing that's needful is for Christians to really have a Christian worldview and then be able to articulate that.
That's exactly right, Jerry. Of course, Dr. Kennedy was all about that, and that's what this ministry is all about as well. During a time of cultural capitulation on the part of many Christians, when churches and Christians don't want to deal with these issues and they just want to be seen as offering the gospel and don't want to get involved in any sort of controversy, the reality is we're going to continue to speak to these issues and lean into these issues because God does. The fact is that God has lots to say about marriage and sexuality. God has lots to say about politics and government. God has lots to say about Islam and other false religions. God has lots to say about the moral issues that face us in our country today. Mm-hmm. And so to be responsible stewards of that word that God has given us, we're going to stand up and continue to proclaim it in a time when, unfortunately, many Christians are failing to do that.
And I keep thinking about what Jesus said just before he ascended into heaven. He said to his apostles, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples." And he went on to say, "teaching them everything I have commanded you."
We often forget the second part of that Great Commission, teaching the nations all that I have commanded you. And so Christians have retreated from things often that they think are too political or are too controversial, or will say, well, that's for Christians. The biblical truths are for Christians, but we can't expect non-Christians to be governed by those. Well, the reality is that the Word of God is living and powerful. It transforms people, but it also transforms cultures. That's one of the things that Dr. Kennedy stood on, and that's one of the central features of our ministry, recognizing that the Word of God can transform people and it can transform cultures. We need to proclaim the truth, all the truth to unbelievers, not just the truth of salvation, but the truth, thus saith the Lord, about these important issues, and expect that the Word of God will be effective and bring about change.
Well, what's really needed today is for Christians to have a fully biblical worldview. As Dr. Kennedy taught, the Bible has the power not only to transform individuals, but the culture as well. One young Christian, Dr. Owen Strawn, a seminary professor, heads up the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, which promotes a truly biblical view of marriage and gender roles. Listen to what he had to say about this ministry.
One of the greatest impacts Dr. D. James Kennedy had on me is that he showed me through his sermons and his writings that theology is made for not just for the church, but for those outside of the church. It's made for the big bad world beyond the church building. Kennedy really imbued me with a sense of confidence that Christianity could make a difference, a living difference in our world, and that's stuck with me since.
Well, John, I count it a privilege to work for this ministry because on the one hand, we have the classic messages from Dr. Kennedy, which are timely and timeless. And on the other hand, we're dealing with today's issues from a biblical perspective.
That makes this ministry extremely unique, Jerry. And I don't say that as a way of bragging. I'm grateful to be a part of this as well. It's just the reality. God has given us a message and God has given us a platform. Mm-hmm. And with the generous support of our viewers and our donors, we've been able to expand that platform. This ministry is growing, sending these biblical truths out around the world. We just recently went on Sirius XM Radio. We've gone on to Light Source and One Place online. We're launching a new website. We've gone on American Family Radio. We're expanding our TV platform. And so we are moving forward with biblical truth that the world is literally dying to hear. And we need to be able to continue that work to see individuals and cultures transformed by the word of Christ.
I agree. Well, reaching a new generation is key, and we're working to make it happen. John, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Jerry.
Our nation is suffering because too many Christians don't have a biblical worldview, and they don't know their own history. While so many of today's Christians turn aside from issues of government and public morality because they're too controversial, our nation would not even exist were it not for bold Christians willing to stand up for biblical truth. My dad was passionate about showing Christians and unbelievers too what God has to say about every part of life. He knew that biblical truth had power to transform lives and cultures, and so he tirelessly broadcast it to the world. Following his legacy, we continue that work today. But we can only do it with your help. Our voice has never been needed more than right now, as we're reaching a crisis point in American history. With God's help, we will win the greatest struggle, as Dad called it, but only if Christians stand up for the truth. Our fiscal year is ending at midnight on June 30th, and it's extremely important that we meet our financial goals so that we can continue and expand the work of this ministry. I need to hear from you right away. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762, or go online to djameskennedy.org. Some generous friends of our ministry have established the $100,000 Freedom Now Challenge Fund to help us meet our fiscal year-end goal. When you give right now for our fiscal year-end, each dollar will be magnified in impact as you help us to meet this challenge. For a generous donation of $50 or more, we'll thank you by sending you the new hardcover book, Doubting Thomas, by Mark Belisles and our own Jerry Newcomb. This book breaks important new ground in the controversy about Thomas Jefferson's religious views, which have been twisted to justify a completely godless government. We must know the truth in order to reclaim our government and our nation. Doubting Thomas also contains never-before-published material, including some of Jefferson's own letters. It's yours for a donation of $50 or more. We'll also include a handy Fast Facts card on the separation of church and state, featuring key points on this issue. Or you can receive just the Fast Facts card for a donation of any amount. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762, or go online to djameskennedy.org. But we must hear from you by midnight on June 30th, so don't delay.
Our deadline is just hours away, so please contact us immediately with your generous donation to help us close out our fiscal year in the black. May God bless you as you join us.
And may God bless America.
Today's program is available on DVD or audio CD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. Next week on Kennedy Classics.
Is this nation worth fighting for? Is it worth my dying for?
There is overwhelming historical evidence that proves that our nation was founded on Christ and His Word.
That's next week. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.